Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As it is winter, it may be too cold for most of us to go camping. But I do know there are some brave souls who even do it during the winter. My hat's off to you. I couldn't do it. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. Today we're going to be sharing some creepy and allegedly true camping stories sent in by viewers just like you. Now, as always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's from a camping trip or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this show going on a daily basis. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true camping horror stories that'll keep you out of the woods tonight. From 2013 to 2019, I worked in outdoor education in many different summer camps and outdoor education centers in Canada, mostly Ontario, but I did spend a season or two in the Rocky Mountains. Having grown up, going to sleepaway camp, and eventually participating in month-long leadership programs with backcountry canoeing components, I was well prepared to lead a group of teen girls from a camp in Georgian Bay on a two-week camping trip in the Temagami region during my first year as a counselor. The Temagami region is located between North Bay, Sudbury, and Timmins, Ontario. This region is home to many provincial parks, wonderful hiking and canoeing routes, and the Bear Island Indian Reserve. Our route was typical and beginning the Whitefish Falls region, ending at Highway 11 after 14 days of paddling, portaging, hiking, and campfire making. We had a satellite phone to check in with our camp director every day, and in case of an emergency. We also had multiple exit points along the route. Until our second to last night, we were having fun in a relatively uneventful time. Besides some mild dehydration and the usual bumps and bruises, everything was great. Near the end of our trip, we were doing some free camping on the shore of an uninhabited island in Bear Lake that is recognized as part of the Bear Island Indian Reserve. It is a beautiful area, and we were across from the main island that had about 250 people in its population. We had put out the fire and gone to bed when, about an hour after falling asleep, I was jarred awake by the sound of a loud motorboat. Obviously, this is not that weird because it's a large lake, and many people use boats to reach the mainland or their homes on secluded islands. However, it was around 11 p.m., and things had been quiet for at least a few hours. The motor would cut out, and I could clearly hear an argument. It sounded like at least one man and a woman were incredibly angry and yelling at each other. Although I could not hear anything specific, because they were too far offshore. Suddenly, the woman screamed and I heard a splash into the water. And then, complete silence. At this point, I was pretty freaked out and hoping to God that my girls had not woken up. But I was not that lucky because I could immediately hear talking from their tent and could tell they were scared. I was about to unzip my door and look out to see if maybe the boaters had an accident or something when my whole tent lit up. The light slowly panned across me and onto the tent of my girls. This immediately made them quiet. In a normal volume, I was able to tell them to stay still. The light panned back to my tent and then over to theirs again. I can only guess that it must have been some sort of boat with a spotlight on it. If anyone has any ideas of what type of boat that may be, let me know in the comments. After an eternity, that was only about 5 minutes. The light was turned off, and I heard the motor engage and fade as the boat drove away from us. I immediately found the satellite phone and called our camp director, who gave us the number for the local police. I called them, and they said they would forward the information I gave them to the local native detachment on Bear Island. I do not think any of us slept that night, and I got up at 5 a.m. to take my canoe out and look around. I thought maybe someone had fallen overboard and had managed to swim to shore. Obviously, I did not find anyone, and there was nothing floating in the water either, although it is a deep body of water. None of us wanted to camp one more night, so I called the camp and had them head out to the picking up point a day early. We paddled like hell and did not really think or talk too much. I think none of us really wanted to speculate about what we might have heard and what would have happened if we had made noise or moved when the light was on our tents. I have thought about this a lot over the years, but whenever I've told people the story, they've been quite skeptical. I recently started looking into missing person cases in the area, but without much luck. If anyone hearing this is familiar with Indigenous issues in Canada, though, there is an epidemic of missing and murdered Indigenous women, and these cases usually go unreported and unsolved. This happened 2 years ago, and since the anniversary just passed, I thought I would finally share the story. My fiancé and I were on the second night of our two-night camping trip at a popular campground about a half hour from where we live. For reference, my fiancé is black. We live in a predominantly white, conservative, and unfortunately racist area. This is important later. On our first night, we kept hearing noises in the woods around us. The campsite right beside ours to the right was occupied, but the one to the left was not. The campsites are about 150 yards apart, and we had camped here in the same exact plot the year before. We were familiar with the area, and the various kinds of animals that live in these woods. The first night, we heard shuffling around our tent. It was obviously something large moving around. We brushed it off and assumed it was just a deer or something. Now, back to the main event. On August 11th, we spent the day at the battlefields a town over with my family. They had all been invited to join us for a day by my fiancé as a surprise for me while he proposed to me. We stayed with my family in the evening, about 6 p.m. before heading back to our campsite. When we got back, things were odd. Someone had obviously been in our tent. Our blankets were thrown around, clothes were on the floor, and my backpack had been rearranged. I was missing underwear, but hey, we were stupid 19-year-olds and decided that since whoever had, busted in our tent had been gone and had not taken anything important, that it must be okay and that they would probably not come back. So we set up a campfire and sat out until it was dark, roasting hot dogs and s'mores, smoking cigarettes and celebrating our engagement. Around 9:30 p.m., we put our fire out and decided to go into our tent and try to celebrate a little bit more. Nothing too loud or obnoxious. Immediately after we finished, we started to hear the noises outside of our tent again. But this time we focused on. We heard clear footsteps, and at one point, a man whispering. We looked at each other and our eyes got wide. Someone was walking around outside our tent. We were still and completely silent, just listening to the footsteps, and we heard whispering again. Oh no, make that two men walking around our tent. As if we had the ability to read minds, my fiancé said, "I have to go to the bathroom," and I agreed. The bathroom was up the hill from our site. Most people who were in lower sites like ours drove their cars up to the bathroom. Now, here's the part I still get chills thinking about. We got up and were getting dressed. My fiancé had just turned on the light in our tent and put his binder on, when a man spoke directly to us right outside our tent.
"What are you doing?"
I cannot even describe how malicious and menacing this voice sounded. It was clearly directed at us, and he said it with a snicker. He was watching us through the walls of the tent. Again, for this part, we were stupid 19-year-olds, so we just decided to run it for the car. My fiancé grabbed his pocket knife and his keys and stepped out of the tent. He pulled me with him, and we ran like hell to the car. I heard the footsteps running behind us, then turning and running up to another campsite. At the bathroom, we talked over our options. We talked about sleeping in a car, or driving into the town. Then we had another idea. We drove back down to our campsite and began packing everything into the car. At this part, it was around midnight. We moved faster than I think was even possible, wrapping up the tent with our belongings still in it and grabbing our folding chairs. We were all packed in 5 minutes and hopped into the car to leave. I jumped out at the end of the drive and grabbed our nameplate, which had my full name on it, off the post. As we pulled out of the campsite, I saw our assailants for the first time, stalking through the woods onto our campsite. They were two tall white men. I realized that these were the same men who had been driving past our campsite the whole time we were there, just glaring at us and muttering to each other. One was wearing camo hunting gear, and the other was wearing a Confederate flag tank top. Both were carrying large hunting knives, unsheathed and at the ready. They turned when they saw our car driving by. One started to make chase until the other stopped him. I made eye contact with the man in camo, and he smiled the most terrifyingly evil smile at me and shook his head slowly. We drove the long way home, taking all the weirdest, hardest to follow roads, and called my dad so he would know we were coming. When we got home, we told my dad everything, and he shrugged it off as us being paranoid, so I never told anyone else besides all of you now. I am convinced to this day that this was going to be a racially motivated attack. The campground was not heavily populated, and my fiancé was the only non-white person at any of these campsites. It was no accident that the two men who had been shadowing us since our arrival and wore Confederate flags and had one on their truck decided to target the interracial couple. I still get cold chills when I think about how close we were to being killed or seriously hurt that night, and just how lucky we were that our reckless plan to make a run for it actually worked.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
This is a completely true story. I am just interested to know if anyone knows what it could have been. There was one time, about 2 or 3 years ago, I was out in the woods camping with my brother, and we had just gotten there at around 4 p.m. to set everything up. Once we had everything set up, we got a fire going. And then, once we got the fire going, I told my brother I was going to go get some firewood, because we only had enough just to start the fire. So I went out, and it was probably around 7 p.m. And then, suddenly, it got cold even though the weather was not cold at all. I got a sudden rush of coldness. I felt a heavy feeling of just pure evil and hatred, even despair. I immediately went back to my brother. He told me that it was fine, and there was probably just a strong thing of wind coming through. But I knew something was wrong. We sat around the fire, and I just felt like someone or something was staring at me. Once again, I started to feel the same feeling of that evil, and it was not faint this time. It was slowly getting worse and worse, as if it were just growing inside of me. I brushed it off and went to bed. At around 2:20 a.m.-ish, in the morning, I heard something that sounded like a scream, and it woke me up. I looked around in the tent and got a flashlight. When I turned the light on, I noticed that my arm was bleeding and had been cut open by something in multiple spots. I woke my brother up in a panic and told him what happened. He said he did not know, but he thinks that I probably just cut it before we got in the tent or something. There's a lot of thorns out there. Even though I was looking right at it, It was obviously a fresh cut, and it was bleeding. I said, "Are you joking?" And he continued to say that nothing happened to me, and I was pranking him. At around that time, I felt a huge amount of pain in my arm, and then I heard that scream again. But it did not sound like how humans scream. It was more of a screech, like that of an animal or some creature in the distance. It sounded like it was in pain. I looked at my brother and asked if he heard that, and he said, "What do you mean, do I hear that? Nothing happened." At that point, I was scared for my life. I was praying that nothing would happen. Then, after just a few more minutes, I heard that scream again. Every time this thing screamed, I would feel the pain in my arm, and it would just get worse and worse. I would start to have a burning feeling. Eventually, all of it just stopped, though. Although, after that, I was not able to sleep for the rest of the night. I mean, come on, who would be? The next morning, I told my brother we have to leave ASAP. When we went to the truck, I could have sworn, out of the corner of my eye, I saw something run through the woods. We got to the truck and I looked out, while packing the stuff up, and four of the trees had marks like they had been clawed by something. But the thing was, is that the marks were at least 12 feet up in the tree, maybe even higher. At that point, I was so tired and scared I just got in the truck, and we left. To this day, I still have not ever gone camping again, and I still wonder what it was. Does anybody have any ideas of what it was? Why couldn't my brother hear or see what was happening? So, when I was growing up, I would spend some of my spring breaks at a cabin in North Van, near Capilino. We called the cabin Camp Capilino, and I would go to the local community center. I believe the cabin we went to was in the 1992 movie, To Grandmother's House We Go. It was the house the grandmother lived in. Anyway, I stayed at this cabin multiple times with this group of other kids and our leaders. We had always all slept together in the side of the cabin that had a boy sign on the door. Never really thought anything of it, but the last year I went to that camp, we stayed on the girl's side. I had thought the cabin had felt sad and strange to begin with, but for some reason sleeping on the side, we left empty the previous year, this gave me anxiety. Eventually, it became time for everyone to go to sleep, and I got picked to be in the top bunk. I was happy about it, until about 3 a.m. when I woke up and the room was ice cold. I had a rather slippery, old rubber-coated mattress, and my sleeping bag had decided to slide almost all the way off. I sat up to get back inside, and as I sat all the way up, I saw a completely white little girl that looked nothing like the other kids I was with. She was standing over one of the leaders sleeping on the floor, just staring at her. At this time, I had realized that I was looking at a spirit of some kind. I quickly pulled my sleeping bag up and over my head as I lay back down. I knew what I saw was not just a dream, and it was indeed real. I did the cliche and pinched myself several times to make sure of it. Some time had passed, and I was finally warm again. Fully closed inside my sleeping bag, I decided it was time to check the room for the girl. She was gone, and so was the cold. I did not sleep too well after. The next day, I had mentioned this to my friends. The leaders quickly caught wind of this and did everything to try and tell me it was just a dream. I knew this was so the other kids would not be scared, but they were scared regardless. It was just before lunch, and that meant pool time. The creepy old cabin had a heated outdoor pool right beside it, and the groundskeeper and owner was the lifeguard. Being the curious kid I am, I floated over to the side he was sitting on and began asking him about anyone seeing ghosts on the property. He did not hold back telling me that his daughter had seen a ghost a few times in the cabin and on the trails behind it. I asked him if it was an all-white little girl with long straight hair, and he gave me a weird look and proceeded to say, "How did you know that? That's exactly what my daughter said." I told him about my experience and he acted if it was almost good luck that I saw the girl. I honestly thought it was incredible, but our leaders quickly shut down the conversation after hearing us. I understand there were other kids there, but I had to solve that mystery. Maybe it was because of watching too much Scooby-Doo or paranormal-based shows as a kid. The same day, The leader sat us down and tried to tell everyone that I just had a dream, and not to listen to me or the owner of the cabin. I was obviously hurt, especially because they had just told me I was dreaming it, but I knew what I saw and the feelings it produced in me. I left that camp a few days later with no other paranormal occurrences. It left me with so many questions about that cabin we've camped in so many times. I searched a bit online recently to try to find anything I could, but all I could find were some old pictures of it and a booking website. I decided I'll email them tomorrow with some questions, but it's probably a new owner by now. If anyone out there hears this and knows anything about Camp Capolino and stayed there and felt a little weird, please let me know in the comments. If I could piece this together even a little more, I would be incredibly happy. I want to know who that girl was and what happened in that place. Hello, I hope you are all well. I am sharing this both to pass an interesting story and to hopefully find anyone else with a similar experience in this location. My wife and I were camping last night in the Blue River Reservoir in Oregon. We came here often and decided to explore up FSR 520 and found a cool abandoned bridge far back in the woods over Cook Creek. The spot was beautiful, and we set up over the river on this long abandoned bridge over the creek. If you have ever been in the Oregon woods, you know that they can give off a creepy vibe, and this was no exception. But it really was a dream campsite. Being 40 feet directly over a river, while on a bridge with limbs growing everywhere, is not an everyday spot. I'll also throw in, for background, that there was no one within at least 3 miles of us, and we had to hike in quite a ways from our car. We explored around the area for quite a while, and did not come across anything out of the ordinary besides a pair of shoes and the name Mona written in the ash on a rock. While we were sitting by the fire, I noticed a very bright flash of light over the river and snapped my head up, but did not see anything. A few moments later, I was paying closer attention and watched a ball of light float, even with the bridge 40 feet in the air, from one side to the other. It went over 50 feet. The light was very blue. My thought, the first time, was that it had somehow been the headlights and somehow shined through, I don't know. But I would have heard a car, and no man-made light could have made it into this isolated area. This blue light was unlike anything I'd ever seen. I mentioned it to my wife, but did not want to freak her out, so I dropped the subject pretty quickly after. Later that night in the tent, we had put the mesh lining up so that we could see outside. My wife gasped and watched as the same blue light floated over the end of the bridge 30 feet away and hovered in the air. After a good bit of time, it shot into the woods. It is late at night, and we were obviously scared of someone's headlamp, but it shot away 40 times as quick as any human could go, and we saw nothing attached. Our dog left the tent and stared at that spot for about 10 minutes or so, while also peeking down the side of the bridge very seriously. Has anyone had a similar experience on Forest Development Road 520 in Blue River Reservoir, Oregon, or had any similar experiences in the Pacific Northwest? I'd love to know. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true camping horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this show going. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in the algorithm, and that helps the swamp expand its waters. If you're new to the swamp, be sure to join us, hit the subscribe button, and be sure you have notifications on to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, on all things natural and supernatural. If you're on the go and don't have YouTube Premium, but still want to listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories, you can do so absolutely free on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about anywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. And like I said, It's absolutely free to download them. If you would like to help out the Swamp, maybe even leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. It really helps a lot. If you want to support the Swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out our merch store. I have everything from t-shirts, hoodies, face masks, mugs, and more. We currently have an exclusive Swamp Dweller 2020 Christmas design that will only be sold into the New Year's. So definitely check that out and get one before it's gone forever. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this on a daily basis without your guys' help, and I really, really do appreciate that. As a thanks, I wanted to do a quick little giveaway. I know that COVID restrictions are coming back hard in some states, so I wanted to give away a couple of free Swamp Dweller face masks. So, all you have to do to win that is 1, be sure you're subscribed to the channel. I can see everyone who is subscribed. 2, be sure to like this video. And 3, comment down below your absolute favorite cryptid. I would love to know. I'll be picking probably 3 or 4 people in the next video. Good luck, and I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.